Token life we have, that life that's in the blood. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Brother Bob, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering for us?
Thank you. Lord God, we're grateful to be able to gather. Bless Brother Dale as he comes to hear that word, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us now. I pray that you'll bless the little we'll give back to you, Lord. Bless these tithes and offerings in your name.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus, "In the Presence of Jehovah," in the key of C. Amen. Are you happy to be in His presence this morning? I tell you, if you come with the right attitude, with the right, as Brother Wade was saying, come prayed up. Come expectant. We serve a supernatural living God. He knows all things before they happen, but He wants our faith to just be energized by His presence. Amen. Let's just sing this to Him this morning and invite Him in. Sing it with all your heart. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. But then things, they change, and you're down in the valley. Oh, don't lose faith, child, for you're never alone. Oh, is he God on the mountain to you?
Still the mountain? Is it God on the mountain? Is still God in the valley? Oh, when things go wrong, yes, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still this morning for responsive reading. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, yes, He'll make them right.
Bless you. Bless you, my brother.
The good times.
Sweeter than getting woke up in the middle of the night and saying, this brother or sister needs help. Speak for them.
That's right.
Amen. Tell you folks, it's special. Amen. Special place we are here today. We're going to read in Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be reading from verses 9 through 16. Before we go to the author, let's thank Him. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this gathering here this morning, Lord God. And Father God, we ask that those that couldn't make it through the door today, You just touch them and bless them and speak to their heart. A little peace and joy come to them, Father. Return unto them the joy of Thy salvation, Father. And I ask You this day. Is to bless each one and open our hearts, Lord, as Your word comes forth. Let it come forth in life and truth, Father, as You promised it. And Father, we know it will, and we ask, Lord God, You have Your way with us most of all. And Father, today I ask You to touch and bless Brother Dale and bless his voice. He spent a lot of time talking about You, Lord, to others. May You bless him one more time, Father, and let that voice ring true and loud and clear, Lord, and just bless him and be with him, Father God, and be with this afternoon service with Brother Wade, Lord. And bless each one here, Father, that the word falls on their ears, Lord. And send it to us by revelation. And as we go and read Your word, Father, let peace and joy be on our hearts. Forgive us of our sins and lead and guide us in Your way. We ask in Your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God.
Yes.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for the reading of the word.
Amen. Having the mind of Christ. You can lift it up. You can lift it up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That the Holy Spirit teaches us. Amen. See, that's the key of it. Let's turn to page 688. If you have your spiral songbook near you, trust and obey. You know, that's a truth in that. I was listening to the message, the token, a while back, and Brother Branham said, full obedience to the word entitles you to that token. The obedience of Acts 2:38, the obedience of repent, it will entitle you to that Holy Ghost experience. Keep laboring in there.
Amen.
Walk by faith
Amen.
And obey. Amen. It's in the key of C. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. And while we do His good will, and He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And not a shadow can rise, and not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. And not a doubt or a fear, and not a sign nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. What a promise! And not a grief nor a loss, and not a frown nor a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. Oh, it's in the surrendering. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust. Let's sing that last verse together. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What a glorious time! And what He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to, let's all stand as we sing that last verse again. then in fellowship sweet, as we sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. And what he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Hallelujah. What a profound verse, that last verse. Fellowship sweet at his feet. What he says we will do. That's a relationship. That's a love relationship. And it's all you want to hear is just more of his word. And it comes by just trusting and obey. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. You ready for this word this morning? Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as our brother comes this morning. Pull on that gift. Pull on that word. He's here to meet every need that we have. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yes, open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. For I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your glory.
Amen. You love me.
Pour out your power and love.
See him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to John 15. We'll read some verses from John 15. So remember all the announcements that have been made. Remember that you way to be ministering this afternoon. And remember now you've got all of the officers and things like that, the deacons and all of the teachers and things like that are to meet this afternoon to get everything working upon still the point of the 4th of July. So remember that. And let's see what else. Wade will be preaching this coming Wednesday. All right, then the next week. Now, not this coming week. We're doing it a week ahead of time, you know, where you remember. Not this coming midweek, you know, because Wade will be ministering, but it'll be the week after. We're going to have services on Tuesday. All right? Everybody got it? It's going to be on Tuesday, not this coming Tuesday now. The next one. There will be the services. We'll be there and everything, getting ready to where that we can all leave. The women will be going one way, the men going the other way. So there's one thing about it. You can realize that I'm paying for separation.
Yeah,
that didn't work out, did it? And women going one way and men going the other. So at least we're praying for a time where you can say you could have a time by yourself. That's more like it. And also anything else? Huh? All right. And let's just remember these things and pray one for another. Remember now that Brother Long will be with us on that weekend after being up to camping and thing, and his son will be here. They'll be taking the weekend services. So remember that and pray that the Lord would bless, okay? Father, we thank you for all of your love, your grace, your kindness. Thank you for you. Thank you for everything. And we just ask you now that you'd come on the scene and, Lord, just as we meditate upon you, that you'd speak your word to our hearts, that we may all, Lord, learn to know more about you and to follow in your word. We love you and we thank you. Be with the sick among us. We know that Brother Al's having a lot of problems. Be with him and Father for Brother Howell and Sister Audrey. We pray that you'd bless them and all of these others. Lord, there's many among us that are sick. Remember Brother Collie, Brother Darty, Sister Mary, remember them, Sister Johnny. We have many that Satan has brought his hand of destruction among us to try to take away some of the people, but we plead the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all of these. Remember Brother Mark, Lord, because he's having a lot of trouble with his kidneys, and do just pray that you'd bless. Guide us and all. Forgive our sins. Lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I want to read this whole, or not the whole, but I want to read over to about the 16th, 17th verse, because I want you to get a point. I told you back yonder that we would, when we finished the series and we got on over to the covering predestination, the brothers took over and they've covered a lot of things about predestination, and so we're laying it out in order. I told you we would just get some little points, maybe as a service or two, and just take that point, you know, to instead of having a series thing, we'll try to just do it in a message or two to get the thoughts and ideas of what we need, okay? So let's just read from John 15. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, now remember, who bears? Does the vine or does the branch bear? The branch is what bears. The vine only supports the nutrients and things out to the, you know, bringing it to the branch and doing those things. But remember that now. All right. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you know, purging is cutting off a lot of things that we don't need. So that's what we've been dealing with, is kind of in the day and talking last night in the Bible study, had a marvelous time talking about, you know, the age and the time where we're at, the adoption, the points of where that this age is the one age that's no other age has been responsible or anything for what we are. Because we're the winding up of all things. Okay, now. And ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No man, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. All right, now, remember, you say, well, wait a minute, you've emphasized a point, John, in your writing that the branch, because he mentioned it about four or five times in these first four or five verses, talking about the branch, to get you the idea, the thought, the point to who you are. We are the branches. He's the vine. Right. Right. We're just the branches. Amen. All right, the branches is what brings forth the fruit, though. All right, so then look at the importance of what he's talking about. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now he's making his point, right? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. What? That you bear much fruit. All right, so it takes some, sometimes some chastening, some whipping, some cutting away the excess things off of the vines and the branches and the things like that, getting it lined up, right? As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that if you love one another, as I have loved you, you know, that ye love one another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now watch. He's changing his point. And watch the reading now. Because look at the word friends. See? You're my friends. No. Over here he calls you a branch. Now he calls you a friend. Listen to him. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you asked of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I was asked kind of last night, you know, how did I study or how did I do sometimes? See, that's the way I like to do. I like to read the Bible and just follow through. Because here over in the beginning, he's calling you a branch. Now he's calling you a friend. See, greater things there because he's calling you a friend. But remember now, he said to Judas, friend. Because Judas was chosen. He was in that job, in that position. Place there that we were talking about last night of the gifts and the thing. And Judas was called, he called him friend. The Bible talks about Abraham being what? A friend of God. See, a friend is greater than the branch. You say, no, the branch is what's doing. But remember, the branch without the vine, there's no fruit. All right? So then you got to upgrade from your branch to, you know, a branch part to think about that he's now calling you, like he did Abraham, a friend. Great position for someone to say, a friend. You know. I mean, you know, you think about somebody in your life that has been your close friend. You know. Somebody that's been close to you and been a friend to you. See, a friend would lay down his life for his brother. You know. Because that's a friend. All right. See, we need to keep that in mind now is what I'm trying to get to into the point. But I want to not back up so far into what we've been talking about predestination as much as to take in the thought, because it's been bearing on me to just maybe speak a little bit of where that Jesus said there, I've chosen you. Amen. So you didn't choose me. I chose you. All right. The Bible covers through many things. I chose you. I ordained you. All right. So we're going upward to from, if you're understanding my point, we're going from a branch. Because a branch is no good without the vine. But the vine is not, will not produce correctly or never will in the vases, because it's the branch it produces. So the vine must be there too. Amen. And then now he's summing that up to come up to friendship. That is a greater point of loving one another and being friends one to another, that would give our life for each other. Amen. As a friend. Amen. All right? Now, so what we want to talk about for a little bit now is one of the thoughts that we were covering in the series back before. To sum up what Jesus is saying, coming from a branch to the vine, and then you without me is no good, me without you, and then coming to calling us friend. All right? So we can see that he would more easily choose a friend than to choose a branch or a vine or a thought like that, because it's coming into the human race to talk about it. But to sum up this point or thought, how does God choose? All right? Now, how does he choose? He just picks him. No, no, the prophet says he doesn't pick. His desire is that everybody be saved. All right? He wished everybody would come to that place, but he knows they won't. So he's covered it here in the reading of this. If the branch don't bear forth fruit, cut it off, do it, purge it. Okay. It comes to the very age that we're living, because adoption is cutting away the things that we do not need and bringing us to a place to where that we are the children of God, being his offspring. All right. Now, in thinking about it, how does God choose without being a respecter of person? Without you thinking, how could God do it without, you know, the human being, say, you know, trying to figure that out and go the wrong way? So how does God choose? Does he choose like we do? See, we choose one thing today, and tomorrow we, you know, we drive a Buick one day. And then the next day we may be driving a Cadillac. And the next day, you know, might be back down to a Volkswagen. Because we're just making our choices over the natural thing. All right? We choose churches. We go here, we do that, we go up and down, we do, and choosing those churches, we choose that by what we think is what would be the best part for our lives or thoughts. All right? But how does God choose? Without making him a respecter of persons. Do you understand that? Yeah. I just picked that thought up too, or doing it, and laid it aside during that series, and just said, well, we'll come back to that. All right. But in summing up all that Jesus said, then he climaxes it by saying, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Amen. All right. Now, you said, well, but Brother Dale, I done this, I done that. We can go through the lengthy series of whatever and thoughts when we did in that series of services and things. We covered a lot about that God predestinates. And how does he predestinate? Amen. Not by his desires. Amen. Not by what he would want to be, but what? Amen. He predestinates by foreknowledge. All right. Now listen to what I'm talking about. See, if you approach foreknowledge, predestination, choosing, etc., if you approach it in one direction, you'll wind up being like a lot of the people of the message are, you know, I've got this born with this seed in me, and I always was eternal. I don't need nothing else. You know, I'm ready to go. And they go most of the time. They go after other doctrines or ideas and leave the message, you know. So they do some going with it. But the thing of it is, see, if you approach it on the wrong direction, you'll come out wrong. Amen. Right. True? That's right. You'll come out with your own concept or thought or idea about it. But if you approach it according to the Word of God, see, keeping your scriptures close together and reading them and following it, And like I said there a while ago, see, you say, well, how do you study? So, well, I see long years ago, I was preaching from Romans 8 and different ones in Ephesians and preaching about predestination. And in preaching those things, you know, I tried to emphasize so much to us that we would follow it, that God predestinates by foreknowledge,
yes, right.
Not by choice.
Right. Amen.
See, then that way, it's not you choosing him. It's him choosing you.
Amen.
Now, but we've got to keep, when we come to that side of the story, we start another emphasis of the point.
Amen.
All right, or another thought.
Right.
You say then, Brother Dale, I chose God. Oh, you accepted.
Right.
Choosing is a hard word because it covers a lot of things. But you accepted what he done for you.
Amen.
And you must do that. But remember that he looked down through time and saw you would accept it if he offered it to you.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah, right?
But he also saw Judas Iscariot, which was chosen for the job and put into the position and had the gifts and all of the things, everything working in his life and a great thing. But yet he turned down God.
Yep.
Huh? Make your calling and election, the scripture says, sure.
Yeah.
In other words, make sure you know what you're talking about.
Amen.
You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, them brothers can quote so much of this, that, well, praise God. But can you come back to one simple thing? Now, this is the way I've been all of my life for 50 years ministering to you, and I'm sorry, not for ministering to you, but for 50 years trying to get you to see something. The more simple you make anything, the better off it is. Right? The more simple, or simplified form or version. Well, see, then we must approach then the fact of how does God choose by approaching it from a simple point that even a child can understand.
Yeah, amen.
Right? And see then, you children, you think, well, I chose to be who I am. No, you didn't. Now we have adoptions in the bases and all, so you understand that part, but that still you didn't have any choice.
Right.
You know. But remember, kids, you didn't have any choice. You was born to Dale. You was born to Fawbush. You was born to Roberts. Did you have any choice about your family that you were allowed to come into? No. Now, other than the fact of adoption or bringing into that way, you know, okay, we can pick up that part. But still remember that it's the parents that are doing the choosing, even if it's an adoption. It's not you going into the adoption agency and applying for a parent. Right? It's the parents going in and applying for you. So now we got it simple. Leave it up to the parents. And now then, kids, you can blame your mom and daddy for everything in the world. Every time anything goes wrong, you say, well, you made me. You chose me like this. You say, no, I didn't choose you like that. And I tried to correct you through the time to get you to not come out to be right. But evidently, I didn't apply the right rule, you know, or ruler, you know, in doing that much. And because today, they say you can whip your child with a belt or a fatten like that, but you can't do it with a stick. I never did understand it. It's just getting the attention of the child anyway. But listen, now, but how does God choose without it being a respecter of persons? And the thing formed, Paul says, can't say, why did you form me this way? Because God never formed us wrong. He formed us correctly.
Amen.
We chose the wrong thing.
That's right.
Well, I can't help to be what I am. I'm just born this way. No. No. You weren't born that way. You become that way.
Right?
By your own choosing. So then, is it that God chooses us without us choosing? No. When he chooses us, we must accept the fact of him choosing us.
Amen.
And agree to the stipulations or the points or parts of that choice or the thing of coming into the family.
Amen.
So then, see, he can choose by his foreknowledge. He knows exactly what you and I will do.
Amen.
Well, why didn't he stop me from doing it? That would be the opposite side of the story now. You're going to start trying to blame him for those things. Because there is something about this situation. See, by you accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you made a choice. Okay? You made a choice. You chose for him to be your Savior. Well, no, he made it for me because that's what you're saying. No, no. Because remember when he was talking to the disciples, in this illustration here in John, he was also speaking to Judas Iscariot. He chose Judas Iscariot. He justified him through him believing on him. He sanctified him in St. John 17. That's who he's talking to here. Judas was right in this group. And he sanctified him. He set him aside, cleansed him.
Yep.
All right? See, it's not a poor old Judas attitude, you know. Well, he didn't know. No. He had the same position that the disciples had. All of them had the same situation. So Judas was chosen of God. But what happened? What happened to the story? When some of the others went through more horrible ways or doings and things than maybe Judas ever had to go through. See, then you can't make his choosing be hand-picking. You can't have that he said, okay, I'm going to put Judas in here, but then I'm going to throw him out. No. Judas chose God. Now we're getting a little bit different on choosing than our thoughts maybe sometimes is letting us run. Judas chose. God chose him. He chose God. He chose him through justification to follow him and to believe him. He had gifts. He had the signs and wonders of the apostles.
Amen.
And all of those things. But yet, what happened in the end of all things? At the state of sanctification, then you have to put everybody at the same, all of the disciples. See, we won't deal with every person, but the 12. All 12 of them stood in the same place. Picked of God for a job.
Amen.
Ordained for that. Anointed for that.
Amen.
And Judas just as present as the rest of them. God never goofed up in choosing. But there's a simple little way of keeping predestination straight and foreknowledge. Just remember, foreknowledge is knowledge before.
Amen.
Is that simple enough?
Amen.
Knowledge before anything takes place is foreknowledge. And remember, it was foreknowledge that put it to the basis that even before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells you that Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain. And when he was chosen for that position, you know what? You were chosen right there in him. Because that's what it says, chosen in him. We'll get to that in a minute in Ephesians.
Right.
Chosen in him. We were chosen of him, but remember, Judas could be into that position of being chosen of him. But when it becomes to the analysis, or what you'd call it, the finality of it all, whose problem was it? Did God turn down Judas? Did he give him something that was beyond the point that he could abide by it? But yet he didn't do it with the other disciples, you know. Did he do something like that? No. That would be something according to his desires.
Right.
And he desires that all men be saved.
That's right.
He desired that Judas Iscariot be saved.
Right.
He called him friend. Friend, why have you come to betray me? See, we don't look at it in the right order. We look at Cain and Abel, you know, a situation or something like that. But just remember, Cain was offered the same thing that Abel was offered. Cain then was chosen of God as much as Abel was in the basis of election and what was to take place. So the people, this message, you heard a lot of people, oh, but Cain, he didn't know. Cain had a choice, the Bible said. If you'd have been chosen, if you'd have done like your brother. In other words, he's just saying, go and do it now. Understand? If he was telling him how the brother got to that position, he was telling him, you go do right now. He wasn't saying, you have done and you're doomed because you didn't do right. No, he's telling him, go right now. Go right now and do what your brother done. And you'll be accepted. Because that way it's God putting forth the choice, but knowing the choice. Foreknowledge. That before the world ever begun, God knew every person that would ever come into this world. And what our choices would be. Right? Everybody. But he has to put it before everybody the same. What's the difference between the foolish virgins and the virgins?
That's right, amen.
At one stage of the journey until the day of Pentecost, you didn't have 10 virgins. Now I hope you follow this point and listen. You didn't have 5 wise and 5 foolish until you come into the New Testament. Because see, that's where we miss it.
Right.
If we get the point that the salvation was not in the Old Testament in the form to where that it could bring you forth and bring you into the right position. Salvation came through Jesus Christ upon Calvary.
Amen.
See, then developed the idea or form to where that you could have 5 wise and 5 foolish. Because what's the 5 wise? Those that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They couldn't have had the baptism of the Holy Ghost if Jesus Christ hadn't died. So it's all based upon that.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So at the time of Calvary, until they made their choice, God's choice was the same for the foolish and the wise.
Yep. Right.
He desired that they both be saved. I'm just picking up scriptures to make you think in the simplified form of thinking about, you know, what has happened. Did God look down through and see you as a goody-goody? And say, well, I like that, you know, I'll choose that one, but I'll reject this one over here. You're going to wind up in trouble because you're going to get into Esau and Jacob. And you're going to find out in Jacob that he's a shyster. And you're going to find out that a lot of Esau's doing was better than what Jacob done. Right? Now you got to get that involved. But it's all involved in one thing. God foreknew all things. He could say to the prophets back there, even in Jeremiah and them, and say, I knew you, ordained you before the world ever begun.
Amen.
When was the choosing and the rejecting? See, that's why Jesus Christ, why did Jesus Christ have to die before the foundation of the world? Why wouldn't it have been in time that he would come to? We know he did physically in time. Oh, we know that. But what would be the emphasis of the Bible talking about it? The Bible speaks of it like the more emphasis is placed upon that before the foundation of the world, God would know all things. And then he wouldn't have to write down a book. He just lets you live it. There ain't going to be a whole bunch of books when we get there, and those things where it says books, you know, in Revelation, we were talking about the other day. It's all going to be computerized.
Yeah, right.
Right. You know, it's going to be set up on that basis that the whole thing will go.
Amen.
And he can see everything about us.
Right.
And know everything.
Amen.
But I've tried to get you to understand one thing. I know I'm crazy in the way I think. But you realize you go back as far as you can go. And that's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is as far as you can go.
Right.
All right? That's why the prophet emphasized that we were not back there as beings, people, etc. We was in his mind. Not as identities of people or thoughts. We were not in that. We were in his mind. All right? So then the mind goes back so far until we won't have no court of appeal when we get there. Because it won't be that he said, well, I realize I done you wrong, Jacob. Esau, I done you a little wrong, or done this, that, or the other. When, you know, I can preach you a sermon on Jacob and Esau and show you that it looked like God did have favoritism in Jacob. You know, it kind of looked like he favored him just a little. Well, you know what? He did. Now then, you got to stop and think, right? How could he have a favoritism to Jacob and it not be something of his desire? Could it be that he was looking at what each one of us would do? Could it be there's the foreknowledge?
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
Could it be that he could see right what it would be?
Amen.
And then all he's got to do is just lay it out.
Yep.
And let it transpire. And he just comes by and drops a little meal. Is that Ruth and Boaz?
Right.
Come by and just drop a little extra meal and you just reach down and pick that up and you have a good time. And he says, but there's more than that. Just keep following the ones that's dropping it.
Right.
He goes to them and says, drop a little extra for them.
Right.
Is that of what you're thinking about the choosing of Jacob over Esau? What if it is, folks, that Jacob loved God? I proved it to you back there in the series time we were talking about Abraham. Abraham was called a friend of God. Abraham loved God. David loved God. That no matter what took place or what happened to the life of David, you know, he would come right back and fall on his knees and cry out to a living God.
Amen.
And God would just drop down and say, that's a man after my own heart. That's hard to explain. Because you say, one can jump up and say, well, what about David's adultery and murder, this, that, or the other? Is that after God's own heart? No.
Right.
No.
Amen.
With the love. See, we had a choice in who we was to marry and things or something like that, or a job as we worked at. We know those things have been a choice. Well, see, when I asked Peggy to accept me as, and I would never, nobody in that realm, I tell you, do not play with your little jitty-jatty kids' words. Don't talk to somebody on the serious matter of marriages and things until you get a lot of emphasis or a lot of help by somebody else. Kids, don't just go out and say, oh, yeah, I'll marry you. Oh, yeah, I love you. I mean, talk's cheap.
Yeah. Right.
But it can get you in trouble.
Right.
You don't realize it gets you in trouble because by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned.
Right.
See? So be careful how you use your words. Don't be cheap about it. David wasn't, my point, David wasn't being cheap about his love for God. David loved God.
Amen.
No matter what God would turn and do to David, David just said, Lord, I love you. Abraham, a friend of God. Moses, lip to ear. As never to any man that was ever made talked like that. Lip to ear,
yep.
That Moses talked to God. God loved him. That's what I said about the fruit. Sometimes you have to cut the limb off. Sometimes you have to prune this and do that. And that's what he had to do to mankind. He had to do those things to keep us from being. He had to whip David. And sometimes, you remember that one time, somebody was preaching about this recently here. You know, one time David, God had just laid it out in front of him. Now, do you want to do this? Do you want to be in the presence of your enemies for so many days? You want to lose this? You want the plagues to come? You want what to do? And David looked at him and said, I want to be left in the hands of my God.
Amen.
That's paraphrasing it, but it's close enough. He said, I want to be in the hands of my God. You know what? It cost him thousands of lives. But he'd rather do that and lose half of his army than to go with some idea or some point of his own desires and wind up and not lose nobody. You understand what I'm getting at? How does God choose without being a respecter of person? How is it that he can choose without being a respecter? It's simple if you look at it correct.
Amen.
He looked all the way down through and see exactly everything we do.
Amen.
He knows what you're going to do.
Right.
He knows the choice you're going to make.
Amen.
Well, you know what? He just has it ready for you. But he knows what everybody will choose. See? Then the fact of us choosing him, the prophet was not, and the Bible is not saying it when it says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And then come over to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham give you emphasis over and over and over about the doings of choosing and all like that. And you didn't choose him, he chose you. It looks like if you could preach that, you could actually wind up with a good mixed up denomination.
Yep.
But a situation would exist that you'd blame God for everything. Because remember, if you can blame him for everything, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Who'd want a God that you could blame him for everything and get by with it?
Yep.
Oh, that'd be nice. No, it wouldn't.
No.
Uh-uh. I don't want to blame God for my doings.
No.
I don't even blame the devil for my actions.
Right.
You don't hear me saying the devil made me do it. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I'm the devil itself, if you want to take it that way. because it's not going to be on the basis that you can blame the devil even for your doing. Sure, we know what it is. We know what the devil does and how he comes through and how he lives through life and what he does with our lives and how he perverts us and things, because even in the garden, see, Satan, it's hard for to understand what the prophet is talking about, but he says that Satan was the designer of Eve in the garden. Huh? Anybody want to take that one? Satan's the designer. You mean he made her like that? No, he didn't make her like that. God made her like that. Amen. Now then, you're on to me about it, right? God didn't make Eve do the wrong. He knew what she would do. He didn't make us go wrong in sin, but he knew immediately of turning us loose that it would go to that basis.
Yep. Right.
See, you can't pull anything over on God. So quit trying to. Quit trying to blame somebody else for what you're doing and just blame yourself.
Amen.
Right. Cry out for deliverance and say, Lord, help me. Huh? See, we've come in this age until we're through the, and we're talking about life, not about it. We're at the age of adoption that no age faced this age in what it's doing. Why, they, down through there, Brother Dale, they was killed by the millions. They was killed. It's a whole lot easier than trying to live now and do right. What? Well, are you listening? What about all of these heartaches and troubles that are coming upon us? And what about when you finalize it? The Bible says, I sent these things among you to try you.
Right, right.
I sent them, he said. I allowed these things to happen. All of these things. I've got the book Sister loaned me of people with those viruses. And over the past 100 years, there's been something in the neighborhood of 500 million or billion people. It's some big outstanding number that have died in all of these viruses and things. Some of them had 200,000 and 300,000 people. We're not in nothing today compared to what some of those viruses took. And are still taking. Right? But listen to what I'm talking about. God doesn't pick and choose the way we do. Get it all out of our mind of understanding of how God does things and think about how simple it is.
Amen.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
I had nothing to do with Wade turning out to be left-handed. Peggy had nothing to do with that. Oh, you can call it a genetic, what genetic failed it and what Terrence didn't turn out left-handed. I mean, you know, you say, well, I blame it on this. No, no, no. Just get it to the basis. But remember, we're serving a God that knows everything.
Amen.
He knew before the world ever begun every gnat that would ever be in the world and how many times it would bat its eye. Now, that's infinite. But he knew that.
Amen.
So then it would be very easy to just watch it take place. Create mankind. Make him not wrong. Make him perfect.
Amen.
Not eternal. Come on, there's a difference in the word.
Yep.
Make him perfect.
Amen.
Adam and Eve were made perfect.
Right.
They were given the eternal life in their soul.
Amen.
That's how close to perfection it would come out to be.
Amen.
But yet they would still do wrong. That's where you don't hear that among the preachers of the message, because they can't handle that.
Amen.
What do you mean? Well, Adam and Eve, according to Brother Branham, won't blaspheme his name. Adam and Eve had eternal life in the garden in their soul.
Yes.
Not in their body, not in their spirit.
That's right.
Now go read the book and come back and tell me.
Right.
Well, I don't believe it. That's what I mean. You ain't going to do it. You're going to prove what you are by doing that. Well, don't you think God knew what you was going to do?
Amen.
Right.
You know, in school they told us to read certain books. I enjoyed reading, but I didn't enjoy making bookmarks or bookwork, that's what you call it, you know. I didn't enjoy having to write those stories. You know, and they'd assign you a book and tell you you want to write a story about it. Well, first off, I just wind up and give my sister my book and tell her to make me a book report. Well, that done pretty good on that. Until one day I forgot, and you know how you had to turn the notes in, and I forgot and turned in my sister's notes on the book. The teacher found out what I was doing, you know. All right. But I'm like this too. I've always been the one that I enjoy reading. I enjoy getting into something and reading. There's a lot of people are not made that way. It's for some reason. But some people just made to the basis, Zane Grey or what his name was, the one that wrote all of the Western movies back, you know, and all the things, and wrote all the books about him and everything. I enjoyed that. I could get right in there and just be right in there with him pulling guns and just shooting, because I could read it and become a part of it. You know what? That's what I do about the Bible. I love to read it and read me living there. That's why I emphasize so much to you lately, last year or so? Church, this is a personal thing. Something personal between you and God. He wants you to see who you are and what you're doing here. But he saw you before the world. Get away from the picking and choosing of how good it is, but get down to the basis that what if you could just look over the building today and just see everybody's thoughts and ideas? You know, that's why I don't want to be a prophet. That wouldn't work with me. I'd go crazy as a bat. It's bad enough as it is. But to just look out across the congregation and being able to tell you all your thoughts. You say, I'd love to do it. No. No. Brother Branham said, you know, feel a knife sticking in his back. That was his friend. I wouldn't want to do that. But you know what? To be able to live our lives together, that's been a wonderful thing to me. My wife and I have been together 52 years, or when are we going? 62? How many? I don't even know. We get into all this and mess it up. But 62 years. Her daddy told me something. I told the kids about it, or told Richard and them about it the other day, that I've never told anybody of what her daddy said. Her daddy said to me one day, he said, Sam, he said, Peggy is a good little girl. I'd ask him to marry her, you know, and everything. Because I was always that way. I think you boys ought to go to the parents and ask the parents, can you marry their children? I believe in that. And I went to talk to him and said, well, you know, ask his permission. He said, she's a good girl. He said, she'll blow her stack. Said, she'll become, you know, a little irritated with you. But he said, in about 30 minutes, she'll be over it. Well, you know what? I know that. So she blows her stack sometimes at the house. I say, well, okay, 30 minutes. I got to find something to do. But the problem is, see, I blow my stack and ain't no 30 minutes to get over it. You understand? It takes me a week or two, to get over my part, you know, to get it settled out. But if you'll pay attention to kids, especially to mom, you'll find that trait is there. That she'll be upset with you. But about 5 minutes, all you got to do is say, Mom, you're going to have some biscuits ready for supper. Okay. She'll be up cooking biscuits, even though she don't feel like it. All right. But see, that's a trait. That's a thought or an idea. The reason of it to that point is to think about God. What about a God that could look all the way down through time?
Yep.
What about a God that could do that? Don't you think he gets upset with us a lot? You said God getting upset. Don't you think he gets upset of us with a lot of things in our lives every day, maybe? I think he does. But there's always been one thing that my wife knows I've told her. I said, no matter what I do or say or think, don't take that as the final point. Wait a day or two and look at the situation. My point was, I wouldn't mind her having total ability to know all of my thoughts. Now, this is going to be contrary to a lot of people, because a lot of people don't want you to know their thoughts, because they keep secret themselves by not letting out their thoughts. But see, I'm not that away. To you, I'm that away. As long as you get my life's thought. Because my life's thought's going to be the good one. I'm going to have bad thoughts, but I'm going to get over it. Right? And I'm going to be anchored into that, and there's no problem. What are you talking about? God foreknew every move, everything we do. And you know what? He looked at us living it all the way down through and didn't get mad and throw us away. Right? We're down here at the end of all things, and I'm glad of it. At the end of all things, you're going to know all things, and you're going to see then that all of it is right. All things that are wrong will be made right. That's why there is a judgment seat of Christ. Not a white throne judgment for you to have to go to. The bride does not go to that. But she has to have the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
To give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad.
Amen.
It is not a decision of eternal life to decide whether or not you're going to heaven. But it is the fact that we went through life and done those things. And those things have got to be cleared out. That's what I'm talking about and why I believe it's so here. Because right here is a way to do and get rid of all of our little troubles and heartaches and problems and things. And come out of it that where the Bible says the judgments, it begins at the house of the Lord. We're in a day that it can be made possible to get rid of all of our wrongs. Will you ever become to a place that you won't have a wrong thought? I didn't say that. I said, get rid of my wrongs. I'll always have my problems. But I won't be blaming everybody else. I'll accept it on the basis and keep it to where that I can say this is me. Why? Because that's the way God chooses. He had a world full of people. For some reason, he chose 12. Right? He had a world full of people. One time he chose a little virgin to have a child. Could it be that he could sit down and look and see things that we are going through life and to see it that we could go different and him still know what we're doing? You don't believe God that way. I know you don't, because I've tried to explain it. I've tried to explain the one thing of God that he could know anything, even though it would go the opposite direction. He would still know whether right or wrong of it is. Well, because he's God. Don't never do away with an infinite God that could know everything, because that's what he's doing. What is it? How does God predestinate, Brother Branham? By foreknowledge. Because he could look all the way back before the eternities ever started and see everything that would go all the way through and wind up with all being made eternal in the future home and all of the things. He's God. He can do all of those things.
Amen.
Nothing is hidden from him.
Right.
But like I said, down through that time, he would see us mess up and do. But he'd see us go and cry. That's what I say about David. That's why he was a man there for me. He'd go out and do wrong, but yet you'd see him repent. He'd go cry out to God.
Amen.
God said, okay, David, I'm going to have to whip you. You ever done this with your kids? You ever told your kids that it's going to hurt you more than it does them for you to whip them? You ever done that? I mean, really told God, you know, or told your parents, told your children, let me write it. This is going to hurt me more than it does you. Well, see, the kids, I know they didn't understand it. So one day they was at the house, and the kids got to acting up, you know, the grandkids to us, and they got to doing wrong and doing that and the other. And they was trying to get them straightened out. About the time they'd get this straightened out, they'd be over here in this crowd. About the time they'd get that straightened, they'd be back over here. They was having problems. This kids, you know. I looked over at them, started laughing. I said, now y'all know what I'm talking about. Then when I used to try to tell you that it hurt me more to whip you than it did for you to get whipped. I said, take care of them. You know, make them mine.
Yeah.
Huh? Don't you think God sometimes looks down and kind of laughs? And he said, you know what? Old brother John Durrett, let me pick on him a little. Let me give him back trouble. You mean God give it to him? Well, where'd he get it? Come on, stature of a perfect man. Are we in the message? God puts those things on there to try to bring us to a position.
Right, right.
He lets things come among us. Look at all these viruses and the different things. But you know what? I'm going to say this one time. I mentioned it, but I'm going to say it this way. The virus didn't change a lot of people. You just think about it. A lot of the people that were not steady and coming to church, they didn't come regular, they didn't do it. It's the same people when the virus come, they didn't come regular.
Yep.
But they're already doing that.
Right. Oh, yeah. Amen.
They're already laying out and coming when they wanted to and doing what they wanted to.
Amen.
The virus didn't change a thing.
Nope. Right.
It gave you a reason. Yeah. Gave you something to lie about. But you got problems. Right?
That's right.
He didn't pull nothing over on God.
Right.
What if this is the point that what he brought to straighten us out?
Amen.
Well, how did we work? How did we do? I failed. I don't know about you. I figure I failed totally, right? Because of me. But listen. God knows every move, everything you'll ever do. So don't worry about it. Worry about the end point of what I'm talking about.
Right.
I was expressing that a minute. The end of all things. Think about it. That God has allowed us to live and to bring us the truth of the Word of God. That sometimes he'd have to whip us to get us to line up. Well, that's not a loving God. If he loved me, that's what's wrong with me and you, a doty granddaddy, grandma. They pet them kids, you know. We love them. We want to do it right. But sometimes God has to put things on us to get us to line up. But do we think of it that way now? I'm just getting it. And God's foreknowledge. The prophet said he knew that by making mankind would fall.
Yep, right.
Now, how did he know that? How did he know mankind would fall? Because he'd already seen it. He'd seen all he had to do was create man. Give man a choice and we'd automatically fall. Well, that makes God the author of sin. No, it doesn't make him author of sin. It makes him the God of eternal life. Because he knew what choice we'd make. But see, he also knows the choice of what we do. He knows exactly how far he can push you. He knows exactly how much punishment he can place upon each one of us. You see, you mean God punishing us? Well, let's use another word just to get you off the hook. Let's use the word try you. God knows how much he can put on and try us. Because he knows where we're going to blow the stack. But do you know the point yourself how far you can go? Have we fallen in love with God enough to realize that no matter what he does, he's my daddy. He's my father. I talk to him like that. And I tell him, I said, Father, sometimes you know that I didn't know my daddy because he died when I was 4 years old. And I never got to know him very much. But to think that you would give me an opportunity to be able to just, if nothing else, if I die and go to hell, give me an opportunity to study thy word and study it from a prophet's view of the word, how would you say it, or God's view of it instead of our own views. We had our own views. We sat down in the Baptist. We talked about things in the Baptist. I've heard adoption preached in the Baptist. See, a lot of you can't say the things that I can. I've seen a lot of things that was preached there. I heard of the old doctrine that man didn't even have a soul until the giving of the law. I heard those things in the Baptist church. You've never heard doctrines like that. We studied things. You know what I'm talking about? We had things back there. We talked about things. I thoroughly enjoyed the old man that was preaching when we left the Baptist church. He was a good old Baptist, 80-something years old, talking about things that you heard Brother Branham talk about. And I don't blame that he heard Brother Branham. Maybe he did, because he never would. The only thing he'd said was, he says, I'm not saying nothing. I said, have you ever heard of William Branham? He said, I'm not saying nothing about the man. He said, there are some other people I'd like for you to talk to that would be able to discuss things. He said, I will not say nothing about the man. It's because I'm sure he had the respect. I've heard him tell about how he'd get up and be preaching away, and this man get up and start coming to the altar, and a woman jump up and run over in front of him, shouting, speaking in tongues and things. In the Baptist church. You say, you wasn't back there? No, you wasn't in the Baptist church. We used to sing and worship God. So one day he said, I'm going to end this thing. Next time she jumped up and started across her in front of that man coming to the altar, he went over to her and told her, you sit down and shut up. I'm sure he wasn't a popular fella, right? Because everybody thought she was in the spirit.
Yeah.
But he said the man come to the altar and got saved that night. You see, I've heard things in the Baptist church. We studied things. We talked about things. And Brother Branham come along telling us about these things. Some of the things I had... You've never heard of what I've said there, the doctrine that man never had a soul until the law came into existence, because the law was a knowledge of sin and a soul was a human knowledge. It never come into existence until the writing of the Ten Commandments. I said, well, according to the Bible, it says in Genesis, Adam was a living soul.
Yeah.
And I ran into that at work down there one day, and the man told me that, and he said, well, I've never seen it like that. But you see, church, I've tried my best to study the Word to try to get you to see things.
Amen.
Try to get you to understand what it is that's bothering us and doing our wrongs and doing in our lives and hindering us the most. Because it's not the big things that's doing it. It's the little things that we allow to happen to lead us astray. But we should always have one thing in mind. God knows every move we'll ever make. He knows everything we'll ever do, every way. But you know what? He still loves us. Does God love sin? No. Mm-mm. Does God love for us to be sinners? No. He just knows we will. He knows what we're going to do before the world ever begun.
Amen.
So you're not pulling anything over on him. He knows exactly what we think.
Amen.
What kind of a life we were talking about the other day, what kind of a doing, or maybe it was last night or something, what would it be if you was like Brother Branham that knowed every thought or everything, that you could walk up to him and he'd, you know, tell your thoughts and all like that?
Right.
I don't want it. I don't want it. What little bit I've got, I don't want. I've got just enough to realize that you and I need to get very simple in our understanding.
Amen.
So, all right, very simple language. God created the world knowing that mankind would fall. He could not make it fall, so he went ahead and even wrote the Lamb's Book of Life. But see, he not only knows the people of the wise virgins, as I was bringing a while ago, the true born again believer, he knows the foolish virgins. He knows what all of us will think and what we'll do.
Amen.
But yet he don't throw us away. He said, Cain, you would have been accepted if you'd do what your brother done. He knew what Judas was going to do. He finally told him, says, go do what you've got to do. Right? Nobody else in the crowd knew what he's doing. They thought he'd send him to buy food or do this, that, or the other. But he sent him out to deny him and set up the crucifixion. But yet he didn't rant and scream and holler at him. When he come back, he said, friend, what about it, church? Come on, musician. What about it? God, by foreknowledge, knowledge before anything takes place, knew what you and I would be doing today. Knew exactly where we'd be sitting, what we'd be doing, what we'd be thinking. But see, what I love about him is that he corrects us. He chastens us. He does all things, but he don't throw us away. He don't throw us away because he didn't choose us to throw us away.
Right.
He never threw Judas away. Judas went out on his own.
Amen.
He didn't run him off. He just simply told him, said, go do what you got to do. Because he knew then it was already finished.
Yep.
What about you now? Let's stand together. What we got, brother?
Sing that one, of course, create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a
Salvation with God, and this is the very day that we should catch on to the basis of what's going on in the land and around the world, but and start getting ready to get out of here, because this is what we're here for. We're here to finish this up and all be done. God's waiting on somebody. He's already looked down and seen who it is, so he just already goes down there and he just sits our way. Have you ever felt his presence to where it'd just be so sweet? So much until you just realize that the creator of all things is right there with you.